ourselves with other believers for the purpose of the study of the Word of God. We now dedicate these next few moments to the understanding of your Word, that we might understand that Jesus Christ controls history and that history is moving toward the objective of the reflected glory and the ultimate glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his precious name we humbly pray. Amen. All right, while Michelle is finishing the Xeroxing of these things, we finished Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Haggai, and Zechariah. And all of that deals with the exile. And if those of you that have one of the charts, you will note that covers all of the writers of Scripture. Well, it's unfortunate because unless you have the other one that I made, this one is not in color. We had one when we first started this class way back. I gave you this, and we had it worked out in color. And in fact, in two sizes, we might redo that again sometime. But the books of the Bible were in red, and the only way you can really tell in your black and white is that you'll notice in the upper right-hand corner. Good, Michelle, bring those on down, hon. Okay, thank you. Who didn't get one that would like one? All right, raise your hand if you didn't get one and need one for tonight. Okay. Now, in the black and white, you won't be able to see it as blatantly, but if you look in the upper right-hand corner there, you'll see, well, let me just explain. We have a lot of new people. What this is a timeline going all the way through the Bible, up to the New Testament. I made this up in seminary. I had to know everything on here to pass Dr. Walkie's course in Old Testament history. And we had to memorize everything that's on here. And best way for me to learn something, this vast material, is to kind of see it in front of me. And we had to know every one of the kings and every one of the prophets and their dates and the enemy. So I devised this thing when I was in seminary. And a lot of the guys wanted copies of it and everything, so I had it fixed up for this class. What you have, basically, is just simply the upper part is self-explanatory, but I'll come back to that. Then you have a line that comes down like this, then it breaks, then you have a line like this, then it comes back. Well, what you have is, as you see, estimated dates on the left-hand side all the way through are estimated dates of the events. Then you have various of the more important orienting events of history. And if you then when you come down to the divided kingdom and note the kingdom, you have Chronicles primarily, but Chronicles really doesn't belong in this timeline in this respect, but I had to put it somewhere. Kings on the northern side, because the books of Kings primarily deals with the northern side, the nation of Israel. Then you come down on this side, let's deal with the northern kingdom, same thing here. You have the date on this side of it, and then on the other side you'll have the king of that date period, and then you'll see a few letters sometime. E would be, for an example, under the southern kingdom on the right side. Judah is, E is evil. Look down about the fourth king, you got Asa with an R. That just very roughly means reform. Partial reform, partial recovery. This doesn't go along with our terminology, but it'll orient you. You see a B, that's Baal worship, and so that gives you an idea. The I, you'll see an I every now and then, that's idolatry. So you have the king's name, and then you have next to the king's name a letter, something about him, very briefly. Then you have next to the king's name, you'll come down and you'll see the name, like right now, the first name on this side is Obadiah. And that is the prophet and about the time period of the prophet. And you'll come down, like on the right side, Obadiah, Joel, Micah, Isaiah, Nahum, Jeremiah, Lamentations out beside him, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. Now, if you go over to the northern kings, you have Elijah, Elisha. If you had the color chart, Elijah and Elisha would not be colored, because they are prophets, but they're not canonical prophets, writers of Scripture. but Amos, Hosea, and Jonah would be in red because they are the prophets of that period. Then you have, on the way out here, on the outer edges of the paper, the tools that God used to bring about divine discipline and approximate time period that they came on the scene. So for an example, with the southern kingdom, you have Egypt, Edom, Philistine, the Arab countries, Syria, and then dropping down to just before Joel, you have the Arameans, the Assyrians, Sennacherib. So you have these things occurring on the southern kingdom side, the Arameans, the Syrians, Moab, and then down they have the Assyrians, Tiglath-Pileser III, known as Pul, the dates given for this. Then you come down to the fall of the northern kingdom, then way over here, fall of the southern kingdom. Pick back up your timeline in the middle, and you have important dates with various events. 626, Nebuchadnezzar becomes king of Babylon, dies in 605, Nineveh falls. Nebuchadnezzar comes to Jerusalem, Daniel. Then you come down to 586. You have the fall of Jerusalem, the fifth cycle of discipline. 539, Babylon falls under Belshazzar to the Persians. That's what we're studying in the study that we're dealing with, the Persians, the Medo and the Persians, allowing the children of Israel to return. Then you have the start of return under Cyrus. Cyrus dies. The restoration under Persians, the rebuilding of the temple, 516. We're at 518 in our study of Haggai right now. And so we have Haggai, Zechariah in this time period, Ezra, Nehemiah in the time period, and Esther in the time period. And we've studied all of these books. Now, there's one other book to be covered, but I'm going to do stop now as far as the books of Haggai, Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. But close to the old close of the Old Testament by Malachi, prophecy of forerunner of the Messiah, 425, and then you have 396, Jerusalem completed, 333, Alexander the Great, 323, Alexander the Great dies, the kingdom is divided, 167, the Maccabean War, 164, the Jews won the war. The temple is purified. 63, Pompey comes to Jerusalem under the Roman rule. Fourth cycle of discipline. Virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The crucifixion of our Lord. AD 33, the church begins. Temple in Jerusalem destroyed. 70 AD, the canon of scripture completed in 90 AD. Just to complete, for those of you that weren't here when we did all of this, I had the space left. And in the lower left-hand corner, you have the line of Christ, the tribe of Judah, David and Bathsheba. And down through Solomon, you have Jeconiah, Keniah, Joseph, the legal line and royal line, then Nathan, Mary, the physical line. So this is the line of Christ. In the upper left-hand corner, you have the 490 years of the age of Israel, why the tribulation is 7 years, and how that's calculated in a very brief shot at that. Now, what I want to do is a couple of things tonight, but I'll tell you the book we're going to cover. Now, if you look, just for, I want to go back and just fill us back in and orient us now since it's been so long. But if you look at the upper right corner, you've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. All of this is with Exodus out of Egypt and Moses. So you have the five books of Moses. Job written at this time period. We haven't studied Job. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel. We've studied all of those. Then the books by David, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. We have not studied these. Kings and Chronicles. Now, what we have not studied, as I've just given to you, are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. We will cover these books. They're not directly related to the flow of history. We're going to cover those poetical books once we have completed with the prophets. Then I'll come back and pick up the Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and then some others, and then Psalm and Job. And then we'll end the entire survey of the Old Testament with the study of Psalms. Now what we need to look at, if you will, just for a moment, we studied Kings and Chronicles. You'll see that on the line that goes across with the northern and southern kingdom. Come down, we studied Daniel. You can't really tell Daniel in your black and white, but 598. If you'll find 598, you'll go across and you see Daniel. We've studied Daniel. And so what I'm going to do, we haven't studied Daniel, but I'm just pointing out the things we have not studied. We've studied Haggai, Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. What I want to do now is we're going to go back and we're going to start covering now the prophets that remain. We're going to study these prophets as per their dates. So we're going to just start going through. We're not going to be concerned with northern and southern at this time. All I'm going to do is take up the rest of the books in the Bible as per the date of the prophet. So we're going to start tonight with Obadiah. Now if you will look on your time chart, you'll see Jehoram in 848 to 841 in the southern kingdom. 848, 841, Jehoram with a B after his name. That means Baal worshiper. And and I'll tell you about Jezebel's daughter in a moment. But there's where Obadiah fits in. And so we're going to take, just to let you know where we're going now, we're going to cover Obadiah, Joel, then we're going to go over and cover Amos, Hosea, Jonah on the northern kingdom, and then we'll come back over to Micah and Isaiah, because some of the things they have to say deals with both kingdoms, but I just want to cover them in time now. Then we'll do Nahum. Then we'll do Jeremiah and Lamentations, Zephaniah, Habakkuk. Then we'll do Daniel. Then we'll do Ezekiel. Then we'll do Malachi. Once we complete the study of the prophets, then we're going to go back and take up the poetical books of Job and Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Psalms. We'll end with Psalms. So this is where what we're going to be doing, and what we're basically, how we're going to be handling all of this. Now, very quickly, one more time for your note-taking, because now that you have the books and the dates in front of you like this, is the reason I got this out, is remember that the Hebrew Old Testament is written in three sections. They are divided in three sections. First of all, the law. Now, under the law, you have the first five books. So we've studied the first five books called the Torah, and you have those under 1440 approximate date dealing with Moses. Then you have prophets. So we have the law. That's very simple. Then we have the prophets. Now the prophets are subdivided into two groups. You have the former prophets, and then you have the latter prophets. Now what I want to do is take a look at the former prophets, or just write them down. Joshua, those of you taking notes, Joshua, Judges, and sometimes Ruth. So just put here, we'll put Joshua, Judges, put in parentheses Ruth. And depends on the division. And then Samuel and Kings. Not 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings as we have. They're just call them Samuel and Kings. By the way, in the Hebrew Bible, there are 22 books or 24, depending on some variations of how they will do things. All right, then you have the latter prophets. You have Isaiah. So here we have the latter. You have Isaiah. And then there's Jeremiah. Isaiah and Jeremiah. And sometimes Jeremiah and Lamentations are together. If that's the case, then you have 22 books. If they're divided, it's going to increase it. So you'll have Jeremiah and Lamentations. Jeremiah and Lamentations. Ezekiel is under the latter prophets. Ezekiel. And then you have the 12. That's what they're called, the 12. Now, Obadiah, the book we're going to start with, is a member of the 12. Member of the 12. Now you come to the writings. The writings. You have the law, the prophets, and the writings. And the difference has to do with the authority of the writer. All right, under the writings, this is subdivided into three sections. First of all, under the writings, we have poetical. Under the writings, we have the poetical books. Psalms, Job, Proverbs. We will deal with these when we're finished. These were what we're going to close with. Also, then you have the scrolls. Now, remember why they're called the scrolls. These books were read in their entirety at various feasts, and still are. Read at various writings of feasts. You have Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. Now, you notice I said Lamentations. If it is not up there with Jeremiah, this is where it's put, is with the scrolls. So it may vary depending on the Jewish school. So you have under the scrolls Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. Remember I told you in Esther how when they would read, the Jews would make various sounds and all the commotion when the various things are read. So it's still read. Then it closes with prophetic history. Prophetic history. Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Sometimes Ezra and Nehemiah are one book. That's when you have 22 books of the Old Testament. Sometimes they're divided, then you have 24. So you have Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Chronicles. So that's what the Old Testament looks like as far as the Hebrew Bible is concerned. Different only in makeup, not in content. Now, very quickly, the English Bible. Now, once again, we'll go through all of this under textual criticism on how this all came about. But in the English Bible, it's divided up very simply into, first of all, the law, and then we have, after the Pentateuch, or the law, the Pentateuch, then we have history, and you have Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Sam, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And that's why they are listed that way in the English Bible. Then you go to the poetry books in the English Bible. First of all, you have the Pentateuch, then you have the history, then you have the poetical books. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. And that gives you the poetical books, the poetry books. Then you have major prophets and minor prophets. Not dealing with importance, but with the extent of the book. Major prophets, five of them: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Those are your major prophets. And then your minor prophets are the 12. Our English Bible closes with the 12 minor prophets: Hosea, Joel, Amos, and then Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. And that's how the English Bible is put together. And we now are going to start really taking a look at some of the, really the major and minor prophets. And then when we finish with the major and minor prophets, then we will go to the poetical books, and then we will be, have completed our study. Going to spend some fun time in Psalms, so we're a long way off, but the Psalms are really beautiful and need to be dealt with. All right, very quickly now, just to orient you once again to all of these things, because it's been so long and you lose contact concept of everything going on. The entire Old Testament is easily divided. In fact, everything you have on that sheet is easily divided into 13 periods of history. Actually, just 12, but 13 periods of history that we studied. So let's just very quickly go over these so that you have a control of history. The first one, creation to Abraham. Creation to Abraham. All right. Then the second period is Abraham to Moses. So we have Abraham to Moses. The third period, we have the Exodus. The fourth period, the conquest. The fifth, excuse me, the fifth period, the judges. The sixth period, the kingdom. The kingdom. The seventh period is the kingdom divided. The seventh period, you have the kingdom divided. The eighth period, Judah alone. We have Judah alone. The ninth period, captivity. The tenth period, return to the land. That's where we are in Haggai. Return to the land. The 11th, temple completed. That's what we're studying right now in Haggai. The temple completed. Actually, we could say the temple and Jerusalem. The number 12 is the Old Testament canon of Scripture completed. Old Testament canon of Scripture completed. And then 13, the intertestament period, or between the testaments. It's called the intertestament period. Now, we're not going to take time because I want to move on to the introduction, at least of the Obadiah. But you have a nice set of notes, just quickly overlooking every one of these particular periods. Creation to Abraham, the creation of everything, and then the fall, and then redemption. Then Cain and Abel, and then you go through the godly line that we studied of Enosh, the son of Seth, and then Enoch, one of the two men of the Old Testament who did not die. Then Methuselah, the oldest. Then you go to the flood of Noah and his sons. Then after the flood, you have the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the Tower of Babel, the beginning of human government, and then you have Abraham. So that gets history and the civilization bowl really going. And then with Abraham, his movements that we studied, and we don't have time to go through all of that, and Isaac and his problems, and then Jacob, his 12 sons, and what happened to Joseph, and then into captivity, and then Moses on the scene in Exodus. That's what we're studying again on Tuesday night. And then the conquest, period of the judges, great period of human history. They were to be ruled by the law, not by man, but they blew that. Then they have the period of the kingdom, and you know there are three kings under the period of the kingdom, and so you have Saul, David, and Solomon, and that's all it took to degenerate And so then you have the kingdom divided. And we studied the various things dealing with the divided kingdom, as to why the kingdom had to be divided. Then the fall of the northern kingdom, Judah alone, captivity, the fifth cycle of discipline, the return, grace, and the temple being rebuilt. All right. A lot of ways that we studied this Old Testament history. You can study it. Let me just give these to you very quickly. You can study it by dates and note the very important dates of history. 2000 B.C., approximately, the date of Abraham. You'd want to remember that. 1870, approximately, Jacob enters into Egypt. 1440, the Exodus out of Egypt. 1400, Joshua enters the land. 1011, David is king. 931, the kingdom splits. 721 or 722, the northern kingdom falls in the fifth cycle of discipline. 586, the Babylonian captivity. 536, the return. And then approximately 400 is the completed canon of Scripture of the Old Testament, and the temple is completed. Another way, just for your notes, that you can study it is by people. I won't go through all of those. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Saul, David, Solomon, the kings, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, and Malachi. And you can study it by people. You can study it by events, and which would correspond to some of those dates I gave you. So there are just a lot of ways of studying it. All right, look back at your map just for a moment now, just to get a feel of what we're going to be taking a look at with what we're going to do now in Obadiah. All right, we've come all the way down through history, and you've got the split kingdom. It's split out of divine discipline. Why is there a split kingdom? Fundamentally, there is a split kingdom as to divine discipline for the maladjustment of Solomon. Solomon is the real cause of the split kingdom. Because he was so idolatrous and evil, because of women, because he was so idolatrous and evil, worshiping the gods of women that he was involved with, God caused the kingdom to be split. It was not split while Solomon was alive. That was because of God's love of David. And because of Solomon's dad, David, God withheld the split until the offspring, the direct offspring of David, had died. Once Solomon died, you have the divided kingdom, and it came about because if you look under the southern kingdom, Rehoboam. Rehoboam is Solomon's son. See, 931 to 913, under the southern kingdom, Rehoboam was evil. And because of his high taxes, because of his maltreatment, you go over to the northern kingdom, and Jeroboam was appointed the first king of the northern kingdom by God. God appointed Jeroboam. He had no right of being a king because he was not of the kingly tribe. Judah is the kingly tribe. But by grace, he was appointed king, and he should have responded in a wonderful way. But he started off the entire kingdom in idolatry and evil and put up the idols and got rid of the Levitical priesthood. Was very evil. And so all the way through you have evil with very few attempts of reform throughout. Northern kingdom had made a wonderful soap opera. All right, now look down over here on the southern kingdom. We're going to come down, first of all, Rehoboam. Evil. Look what happens with Rehoboam. You have immediately in this time period span from 931 down to about 848, you've got Egypt attacking. Egypt attacks in 926. Then later, as time progresses, Edom will attack. The Philistines will attack. Arab and Syria. It is now time for a prophet. That's why you have Obadiah. So Obadiah comes as a result of the attacks. Look, keep going down. You have the Arameans, Joel, the Assyrians, Micah and Isaiah, then Nahum, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, as we get down near the collapse and decline. So as God brings in the tool, if you just look at that, it tells you what's going on. You can almost relate why there is a prophet when there is a prophet, when you see what's happening at that outer edge of your map, and how God brings in the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the Edomites, the Philistines, whoever and whatever is going on. Then God brings in a prophet to either rebuke, to challenge, to exhort, or whatever the case might be. So this is the flow of history that we're going to be dealing with. Now, Obadiah is going to be our first prophet. Now, Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. So let's turn just for a moment to get oriented to Obadiah. So let's open the Word of God to Obadiah. All right, Obadiah. One chapter, 21 verses. Shortest book. Now, I'm going to deal with it just like we all have all along, but I just want you to get into feel of where we're going now, because we're now just going to start, and some of these aren't going to take very long, but I just wanted to spend the first 30 minutes tonight orienting you again to everything we're doing. All right. Look at Obadiah. Now, if you have the NASB, I didn't check to see what the King James has, but the NASB tells you, Edom will be humbled. Now, look at verse 1 of Obadiah. The vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. Now, look at your chart that I gave you. Either you have the Egypt invades, and then you have... I should have spread it down, but the printer did it this way. But you have Edom, the Philistines, the Arabs, and Syria. All are going to cause trouble. This is, the prophet Obadiah deals with the invasion of Edom. So you already have Edom on your map, on your chart. You already are oriented of that invasion. So Obadiah comes, and remember another thing about prophets. Prophets are always called in bad times. Prophets never get a good deal. They always get a bad deal. They're always called when people are bad, rebellious, and evil. Look what's outside of the king whose name I wrote Obadiah by. Jehoram. What does that B stand for? Baal worshiper. So what do you have with Obadiah? You have Obadiah coming as a result of the Edomites, the Edom up there in the upper right-hand corner under Egypt. Egypt invades in 926 and then Edom. And then you have Obadiah in a time period of Baal worship. So just by looking at this map, it tells you a lot about Obadiah. You can calculate a lot of things about him and why he's called, when he's called, and what's going on with Obadiah as far as the time period is concerned. Now, just for your knowledge, we haven't started the outlining, but Obadiah is going to deal with simply two things in this one chapter. He's going to deal, first of all, with the discipline, the judgment against Edom, and that's what it says. Thus says the Lord concerning Edom. Judgment against Edom, and then two, delivery for Israel or Judah. Delivery for the Israelites. And that's going to be what? The main thrust of nearly every one of our studies. And it's going to deal with the recovery and delivery of the Jews oriented to the Messiah. So, people like to say, well, the Messiah, we read back and we're reading a lot of things that isn't there. Nearly every prophet relates everything to the Messiah. So this just gives you a feel. It's a very short message, and that's what it's going to deal with. Judgment against Edom, delivery for Jerusalem, or the Judah, by the delivery of God. All right, let's get to work now on a few things in regard to Obadiah. All right, let's first of all, as is our custom, let's take a look at the man, Obadiah. Okay, the name of the prophet. Now, here's his name. So let's take his name down and see where he receives his name. Okay. Now here's what we have. Obadiah. This letter, this radical in Hebrew, is not translated. It's a breathing, if anything. But this little dot stuck up here is the O. And this is the B. This is an A. And then we have the DI, like this. And then there's the other vowel, the A. The vowels are always on the bottom or sometimes like this. And there's the other A. And then we have the H, Obadiah. Now the word comes from these three radicals, and here I'll put these on the board, and we wouldn't have an A dealing with the root word. All letters, all words in the Hebrew lexicon, if you're going to look up in the Hebrew lexicon or dictionary, they're all under the verb generally, and all under three radicals. And I don't care how long the word or the noun, you've got to know the verb that goes with it. And to order to look up a word in the Hebrew dictionary or lexicon. So here we have Abad, A-B-A-D. Now, A-B. The noun is more popular than the verb. It's Ibid, E-B, E-B-E-D, and that means to serve. So this is a servant. The verb means to serve, so this is a servant. And then you have, if you'll note this end, and by now you should be well familiar with the closing, and that ending that we have, the IAH, is Jehovah. See, here is Jehovah. There's Jehovah. See the first two radicals? Right here and right here. Okay, when you add it to the end of the word, that's what you use. You don't use the whole name. And this means Jehovah. So his name means a servant of Jehovah. That's what Obadiah means. Servant of Jehovah. Secondly, the man. Well, it's going to be very simple to cover Obadiah. We know absolutely nothing. I mean nothing. In fact, the only thing that we can't even... All we can do is speculate that he's from the tribe of Judah because that's who he's sent to. I mean, we don't know a thing about this guy. So it's the messenger and not... I mean, the message and not the messenger, in particularly in cases like this. So we know the name of the prophet. His name is Obadiah. That means the servant of Jehovah. You have a profile of prophets. Yeah, under, we know some generalities of the man. We know the time that he's called, and we know that prophets have to be tough. But as far as this particular man, we really know nothing. He doesn't even tell us anything about himself in his very, very brief book. Again, this is the shortest book of the Old Testament. So, having covered Obadiah, that'll be one of the fastest coverings you'll have that I'll do, only because there's nothing to be said. We come to the book. So let's take a look at the book, as is our normal custom. First of all, the name of the book receives its name by the author. Receives its name by the author, Obadiah. Point two deals with the author, and the author is Obadiah. I'm not going to deal with the critics. The critics doubt that Obadiah wrote it, even though his name is there. And they're always critics of the Bible. I will deal with it sometime, as you know, when I feel like it's important. But just every time some nut wants to disagree with everything in the Bible, I'm not going to worry about them. But there are critics who will challenge that Obadiah wrote it. Now the date. The date of Obadiah. The date of Obadiah is deducted. It is deducted by things that are in the book. So I'll deal with some of that. But the date of the book is during the reign of Jehoram, J-E-H-O-R-A-M, during the reign of Jehoram of Judah, Judah being southern kingdom, 848 to 841. Somewhere in that time period, we have the writing of the book of Obadiah. Now, I'm going to give you 5 points that kind of works with that dating process. One, the invasion and destruction of Jerusalem, described in Obadiah 1, 11 through 14, or we could just say verses 11 through 14, since it's but one chapter. The invasion and destruction of Jerusalem, described in verses 11 through 14, occurred before the prophecy of Obadiah, before his ministry. He's not prophesying it. It has already occurred. So we know that has already occurred. Point two, it is this invasion that forms the background of the prophecy. Now, I'm not going to go through all of why this is not after the exile, and that's the one we're talking about, but there are various reasons for that that I'll be covering along the way. Now, point three, in the invasion, in the attack, the Edomites, the Philistines, and the Arabians attacked Judah. This is partly described in various passages, 2 Chronicles 21. Point four. Edom revolted against Judah during the reign of Jehoram. 2 Chronicles 21, 2 Kings 8. So Obadiah was probably written near the close of the reign of Jehoram. During the close of the reign of Jehoram, Edom revolted and got very serious. Now, just to fill you in, if you will, look for with me a moment back at your chart. If you look up the king just before Jehoram, 870, 848, is the king Jehoshaphat. Now, you see that R. That R means reform. He led a great army. He had doctrine taught. He was very, very strong. In fact, it's under Jehoshaphat that we have the Valley of Baraka and all of that. Now, Jehoshaphat put all of these nations in subject to Judah. In fact, they were sending tribute to Judah. Once Jehoshaphat died and the weak king came on, Jehoram, Edom revolts. That's normal of history and ancient history. If you had a king ruling, even in history that has nothing to do with the Bible, if you had a strong king, everybody pays tribute. That king dies, and if his son, or if there is a usurp, or whatever might happen, if the man who took over is weak, or there's a time period, then those nations that have been put under slavery will revolt trying to get out of it. And that's why you have a lot of battles of kingdoms moving in the Old Testament, why Egypt will run over somewhere right after they change kings. Kings, pharaohs, rulers like to do that when they take over, to let everyone know, don't mess with me, because I'm just as powerful as the predecessor. Or, the predecessors were very weak and I'm powerful. So, if you studied wars in ancient history, the first thing you always want to look at for a war is go to the country that is causing the invasion, and you'll note the change of rulership, the change of empire. And that man now wants to flex his muscle and gain control and let everyone know where he stands. Edom revolts, as does everyone. Once Jehoshaphat dies and Jehoram takes over, ran by a woman, Jehoram is very weak, ran by Athaliah, Jezebel's daughter, very beautiful woman, but she controls him. People know that. He's very weak. And therefore, nations invade and you revolt. That's what Edom is doing. So, point four, subpoint four, Edom had revolted against Judah during the reign of Jehoram. Subpoint five, the prophets dealing with the dates. See why I'm dating him when we do, why we date him. The prophets Amos. Now, if you look for Amos, Look at 782 on your map and under the Northern Kingdom. Go down your Northern Kingdom, 782, you see Amos. Well, Amos is before the fall of Jerusalem in 586. So you know Obadiah has to be related to an invasion of Jerusalem by the Edomites before that one. It isn't even talking about that one. It has to be, if Amos knows of him, it has to be prior to 782. So I'm just showing you why the dates are picked, because we don't have it like we do with Haggai, where the dates are just there, and that I read to you, the one which we've studied. So the prophets Amos and Jeremiah are acquainted with Obadiah. They quote Obadiah. So we have to predate Obadiah. We have to predate him as to Amos, and which is the more important one, even of Jeremiah. Okay, one, the name of the book. Two, the author of the book. Three, the date. I hope you have some feel of the date now. Four, section in the Hebrew Bible. Well, I've just given you that at the beginning of class. He's under the section of the prophets, latter, and a member of the 12. So he, in the Hebrew Bible, he is under the prophets, and he's under the subdivision called the latter prophets, and he's listed with the 12. Now, very quickly, this isn't really an outline, but the book is simply divided into two parts. The judgment against Edom, verses 1 through 16. And two, the delivery of Judah. The delivery of Judah, verses 17 through 21. And again, we'll note that that delivery is related to the coming of Christ. So these prophets all deal with the coming of Christ. Now what I want to give you, so that you will feel the be able to understand the book and all the things that are in it, let's get a historical setting to understand Obadiah. An historical setting to understand Obadiah. Most important thing in dealing with the prophets now. Now you're getting into what we studied and you call hermeneutics, scientific or biblically oriented principles for the interpretation of Scripture. Also a little bit of eisegetics. Remember that a prophet deals, first of all, he deals with his own people and his own time. Then generally you have a future orientation, or sometimes two or three different future orientations to the prophecy. So you have to understand what's going on and what, how he's challenging his own people, as we're doing in Haggai, and also the future challenge that is in the prophet. A lot of things you have to understand in interpreting the prophetical books and dealing with the prophets. Okay, let's get a historical setting to understand Obadiah. First of all, let's note Edom and the Edomites, E-D-O-M. Edom and the Edomites. Now, very generally, let me give you an idea of where we are on the map. Here we'll come across with the Mediterranean coastline. Here we have the Jordan Valley. And here we'll put up the Sea of Galilee. And here we're going to put in the Dead Sea, something like this. Now, you have in the dealing, here we will put the Ammonites. This is where the Ammonites exist, or in this area. This is wilderness. It's not a fine line. Sometimes there's mountain ranges, sometimes not. Moab is second, under in this area, almost across from the Dead Sea. And then you come down and you have Edom in this large area here. Edom. So this gives you an idea of where we're talking about and where these people are from. I'm going to deal with that more, but just to kind of give you an idea. All right, let's note some things. Now, one, the Edomites descended from Esau. The Edomites descended from Esau. And Esau is the brother of Jacob. Esau and Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau I hated. Okay, Edom is the Edomites descended from Esau. the unbelieving brother of Jacob. He was the unbeliever. Jacob was the believer. Okay? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And you know the difference. Here's Abraham, believer. Isaac, believer. Jacob, believer. And you have Esau, Jacob's brother over here, and Esau rejected. And here is your line of the Jewish race. Abraham is the father of the Jewish race. This is where it fits in. Genesis 25, 30 and 36, chapter 36, verse 1 and following. Now, point 2. A study of the birthright. A study of the birthright incident between Jacob and Esau laid the foundation for the historical hostility between the Edomites and the Hebrews. Genesis 25, Genesis 27. Now, Edom means red. The word Edom means red. The name was given to Esau because Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for red pottage, some good old hot red chili. So he sold his birthright, and that's when his name became Edom Red. He sold his birthright for some red pottage. So that's where the name Edom comes from, and the descendants of Esau are the Edomites. They become the Edomites. There is hostility. The hostility against the Jacobites, against the Semitic people of Jacob, is going to exist all the way down now to the remainder of their history. These two people are not going to get along one little bit. They do not like each other. They are going to be hostile toward each other. Edom will constantly be against the plan of God and constantly be against the Israelites, and the Israelites against Edom. Edom will always be giving them trouble. For an example, point 3. The king of Edom would not allow Moses and the Jews to even pass through his land. During the Exodus, wouldn't him allow him to pass through his land? Numbers 20. Four. Edom and Isaiah have always been enemies and always at war. Saul had to fight them. David had to fight them. Solomon had to fight them. They've always caused enough trouble where they had to be taken care of. Now, point 5. The Edomites finally gathered and dwelled south of Palestine in the mountain range of Mount Seir, S-E-I-R. All right? You have a mountain range, actually. Let's just start here. Here is the Dead Sea, something like this. And down like something like so is the Dead Sea. All right, there's a mountain range. If I could put a mountain range right through here. This is a large mountain range, and that's called Mount Seir. And the capital is a place called Selah or Petra, P-E-T-R-A. P-E-T-R-A, and it's right at the northern tip, right up here. The mountain range, and that's the capital. Now, I'm not going to go much further because we're about out of time, but before we get to the time period of our study, let me just finish this portion of our survey. Point 6. By the year 312 BC, Now, that gives you an idea. Canon of Scripture is already completed. So by the year 312 B.C., the Arabs, and they're under a name called the Nabataeans, capital N-A-B-A-T-A-E-A-N-S. N-A-B-A-T-A-E-A-N-S. The Nabataeans, parentheses, they're Arabs, had taken over Petra. The Arabs came up and took over the area of Petra. The Edomites migrated into southern Judea. The Edomites then, being pushed out of here, not a very large group, but they migrated over into southern Judea. They were called by the Greeks Idumeans, I-D-U-M-A-E-A, the Idumeans. Herod, the king of Judah, in 37 B.C., the builder of Herod's temple, was an Idumean, parentheses, an Edomite. So Herod, whom we've studied, Herod the Great is an Edomite. And finally, 7, and I'll take up from here next Sunday evening, the Edomites, or the Idumeans, rebelled with the Jews against Rome during the 60s A.D., and in the rebellion in 70 A.D. and were destroyed by Rome under the rulership, under the guidance of General Titus, the son of Vespasian. So the Edomites during the 60s rebellion joined the Jews against Rome, and when Titus finally put everybody and killed everybody in 70 A.D., the Edomites were killed and destroyed at that time, and that takes care of the Edomites. Now what I'll do, we'll come back and take our history of our study, the time period that we're dealing with in our study. All right, let's close now in a word of prayer and get ready for our study in Haggai and our servants of the Lord's table. Father, how grateful we are that Jesus Christ is in control of history. And as we study the rise and fall of nations and the advent of communicators of Bible doctrine, we realize and are reminded once again that Jesus Christ is in control. And that, Heavenly Father, there is, for every rebellion, there is going to be the price to be paid. So, Father, it is up to us to make up our mind, to settle down with your plan for our lives, to get our thinking in line with Bible doctrine, and fulfill the purpose for our existence. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.